morning.
Good morning.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this time, Lord. And Lord, we just ask that you just bless the service, Lord. Bless the words, Lord. And Lord, just have your words come out of me, Lord. And Lord, I just hope this message makes sense to you, Lord. And Lord, we just thank you, Lord. And Lord, just help us all be of one accord today, Lord. And Lord, just bless the message. And Lord, we just thank you for these things now. Thank you for your grace, mercy, and kindness, Lord. And Lord, we just pray for our pastor, Lord, that you would just watch over him today, Lord. And Lord, we just pray for him. Have a healing hand upon him today, Lord. And Lord, just give him the rest he needs, Lord. And Lord, we just thank you for these things now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So my message this morning is titled, Will You Be Moved? And the reason why is the other week, my wife once asked me, this is a political thing, but my whole message is not political. But my wife once asked me if we were on the extreme right. And after thinking about this, I said, the reason why we are called the extreme right is because the left have moved so far to the left. We stayed where we are. They just moved away from us. And they keep moving away and keep moving away. And now they look back at us and say, hey, why are you guys so far over there? You guys are extremists. You know, they're the ones that moved. We didn't. You know? So after, you know, I said this and I was thinking about it, and we can also put that same principle to our faith. The one thing that was put upon me is the Bible issue. We started out with the King James Bible, the pure whole word of God. Okay, and we started out with that, and for years, that was a Bible. That was the only Bible that was out there that we used, and now we have other versions. And the versions basically keep moving away from the King James Bible. So now they keep moving, and they keep moving, and they keep moving. Every version that comes out is a further departure from the King James Bible. Okay? And so as they move, and so they get further away, and they're still looking back at us and say, hey, what's wrong with you guys, you know? Come on over, you guys are old-fashioned, you know? Let's turn to Matthew 13, verse 3. Matthew 13, 3 states, and he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came up and devoured them up. Some fell on stony places, where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no depthness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But others fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. You know, as I was thinking about this and read this, it was I just thought, you know, it says some fell on stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up because they had no depthness of earth. They sprung up, but they didn't stay there, because they had no depth in it. If we go and we stay in our Bibles, in our King James Bible, we would have roots. And if we go in it and stay in it and read it and study it, our roots would get deeper. Then we will not blow away. But there are others out there who come along and they go church to church, whatever, and they just, and they're just like being blown with the wind wherever the trend may be, you know? So then they're just blown with the wind, and they don't get rooted. They don't get rooted in the true word. Let's go to Matthew 10, 32 to 39. And Matthew 10, 32 says, whoever shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Think not that I come not to send peace on the earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. Okay, so when we're rooted in the word, and we might be an offense to some people, even within our own families. You know, Jesus said, you know, he came not for peace, but with a sword. And there will be divides in the family. So whose side are you going to be on? You're going to be on over here, the Lord's side? Or are you going to be over here with the blowing of the wind and say, well, you know, that offends my daughter or my mother, you know, I don't know, you know. So where are you going to be? Are you going to be grounded in the word, or are you going to be swept away? Also, an example of that, I think, is Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve had children, Cain and Abel. And everything was okay. After God cleaned up the sin again. Cain and Abel, first they sinned. God cleaned that up for them, provided them coats. Then he had Cain and Abel. And then Cain killed his brother because he had other ideas of himself. Okay, I'm sure Adam and Eve raised their children, right, in the Lord. They knew the Lord personally, that personal relationship. They were communicating all the time. So I'm, you know, sure that they were raised correctly. But Cain had other ideas, you know. And so Cain moved away from the truth and started another set of ideas. So Cain moved away. He got pushed out, and he started his own little thing over there. So then now we have another set of ideas that are departing from the truth. And that was a righteous family. You know, so that's why it says here that, you know, if you accept Jesus Christ and you want to follow him, you know, it could be a lonely road. You know, this is why we need to come here to church. Okay, because we are not alone. We are together in Christ, you know, and this is where my family is, okay? And I have a sister, I have sons, and out there, but this is when I come here, this is where I feel that my family is, you know? Amen. So it says, throughout the whole Bible, we have people departing from the truth, moving from one spot to another, moving away from God's truth ever so slightly. And the move sometimes isn't not really big. It's just slightly. And it just gets slightly and slightly and slightly. And then until years later, you look back and say, well, what's wrong? Why aren't you coming over here with us? Let's go to Genesis 6:4. You know what, let's go, instead of there first, let's go to Genesis 3. Genesis 3, verse 3 and 4. Genesis 3:3 is, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. That right there is, neither shall ye touch it. To me, when I saw that, that's what the devil said, that God said, okay? Well, God did not say that. If you go to verse 2:17, it says, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. So God didn't say anything about touching it. So there, when I read that, it just clicks in my mind and said, well, there is the first Bible version, you know, because the devil's changing the word already, and we're only, you know, in my Bible, we're only 3 pages into Genesis, you know. So there already we have a change of God's word, a change of the moving away. Story six. Okay, let's go to Genesis 6:4. Genesis 6:4 says, there were giants in the earth in those days. And also after that, when the sons of God came into the daughters of men, they bare children to them. The same became mighty men, which were of old men of renown. Okay, so as time is going on, they're getting, they have giants in the earth. And they were, the Bible says, they were men of renown. That means they were famous. Okay, whether they were men of education with PhDs or whatever, famous men, maybe celebrity style, and they were looked up to instead of God. So people were looking up to them instead of looking to God. And we have the same thing today. You know, people with PhDs and whatever letters they have behind their name, or celebrities or anything like that, people tend to go towards them, look up to them, see what they have to say. And it's one thing interesting that I found. Today we have educated, famous people who are looked up to, and they are changing our Bibles. They are the ones that are changing it. If you look into the front pages of any of these other versions, okay, all you see, and I looked up, I have a New King James at home, and I looked, turned to the first page. All I see says the Holy Bible. Well, if you're going to change it, I don't think it's holy anymore. Yeah. But anyway, they said the Holy Bible. And as underneath it, all these names and all these PhDs, you know, you open up your King James Bible, and what do you see? Fine. The Holy Bible, King James Version, that's all mine says. That's it, you know. So we have all these new versions with PhDs, with people who are inputting, I think, their own thoughts of what a verse should say instead of the Lord. They're changing the Lord's words, just like the devil did in Genesis. And the new version, it started with the NASB, the New American Standard Bible, and it continued with the NIV, the New International Bible, and so on and so on. You have the TLC, and you have the ESV, and whatever. And I read somewhere that there's, I don't know the gentleman's name, but there was a gentleman, I believe it was a pastor, that had a hand in the NASB, and years later he decided, you know what, we did not do a good thing, and he recanted of it, and he was upset about it, or you know, God worked on him for years because he had gone and started changing God's word. And so, you know, it's not a good thing. Let's read Revelation 22, 18 and 19. Revelation 22:18 states, "For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of this book of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book." So right here, God said, look, you mess with my word, there's going to be consequences.
Hey, that's right.
You know? And because when you're playing with God's word, you're playing with God.
Yes.
Because God magnifies his word above himself.
That's it. Amen.
You know?
Amen.
And so when you're playing with God's word, it's not a good thing. You know, if I was some of these writers, I wouldn't, you know? Evidently, either they never read that verse, or they don't know what the Bible's all about. Yeah, amen? So so let's go to also Psalm 138:2. Day 138:2 says, "I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth, for thou hast magnified thy word above thy name." Okay? Amen. So so his words is magnified above him. Deuteronomy 4, 1 and 2. Deuteronomy 4 says, "Now therefore hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments which I teach you, for to do them that ye may live and go into possessed land which the Lord God your fathers gave you. Ye shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall ye diminish aught from it, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord your God which I command you." So here again, God is telling him not to change the commandments, not to change his word. So that's at least three times in the Bible that we read that God says, leave my word alone. Don't touch it. Okay, so that's a warning in itself right there. God don't use men of renown or famous men, because they are puffed up, they are high-minded. Let's go to Proverbs 6:16. God uses humble men. You know, you got to be humble. You know, that's what God uses. And he doesn't use men that are walking around proud and proud of their doctorates and whatever they have. Six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him: a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. But The number one thing in this passage, though, is a proud look. Okay, now I'm not saying all these men are like this, to have, you know, walk around, but, you know, with a proud look and everything. But, you know, it's just, but I know a lot of them that are, you know. And so we just have to, that's another warning, you know, that take with a grain of salt, you know. Where are you going to stand? You know, if you're out there searching, newly saved, you know, searching, seeking, my advice to you is get a King James Bible, you know, because when you go into a bookstore, you're going to see a plethora of Bibles, different versions, different, and now you're going to sit there and say, well, which one is right, you know? That causes confusion, you know? And God is not the author of confusion, you know? So when we go in, we, you know, years ago before all this, it was a King James Bible. That's it, you know? There was no choice. That's one you had, because that's the pure word of God. And so, you know, so when you go in there, you know, just look for a King James Bible. And, yeah, you know what? Sometimes it's hard to understand. It might be, you know. But pray as you're reading it, and just read it. Get yourself a little dictionary to look up words that you don't understand, or old English words that are no longer used, and just study it from that aspect. You know, just read it and just look up the words and help the Lord for you to see the truth that he's trying to tell you. You know, because we have the King James Bible is a living word. You know, it. Every time you read it, you get something more out of it.
Yes.
You know. So God doesn't use men of renown, for they are puffed up and high-minded. What comes with the Bible version issue? That brings along the music issue.
Yes.
You know. Also, so if they're going to play with God's word, you think they're not going to play with the music? Okay. So let's go read on Colossians 3:16. Colossians 3:16 says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." So that is telling us that we are to admonish one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Spiritual songs is... to me, it's the same thing as a sacred song. And we don't hear that anymore. You know, we hear gospel music, gospel songs, but you don't hear the word sacred used in music anymore. It says, when you have a different Bible versions, you get different music. You get different music called contemporary Christian music. It's basically what I'm talking about. CCM, okay? Some CCM is hymns with a different beat. They can take our hymn book and get a hymn out of there, sing all the words right, but it's the music that accompanies it, okay? So if you take a sacred song and you're going to give a different beat to it, and it's usually a rock and roll beat, okay? You can't mix God and the devil, you know? They just don't mix, you know? Because we all know where rock and roll music is out of,
yes.
You know, to me it's straight out of the pit of hell,
amen.
You know, amen. So CCM hymns is different with a beat, usually a rock beat. This takes the sacred out of the song. God is not the author of rock. Good lyrics with bad music is not a sacred song. Okay. I have a book here that I had. Is today's Christian music sacred? And it's filled with good things. But in the back here, it has, for a final summary, it says, to be sacred means to be set apart or to be associated with divine things. The sound, style, and heathen beat of the contemporary music is associated and contaminated with this wicked and perverse generation. Therefore, it is not worthy to be called sacred or of being used for such a holy purpose as divine worship. You know, so he's telling us, you know, that, you know, if you have music that has that beat, keep it out of the church. And that's where it stays. It belongs on the out there. I remember when I was young, if anybody can believe that. When I was a teenager, I wasn't saved. I didn't get saved till I was 27. And I don't know what song it was. I don't know, but it was a song that mentioned Jesus in it, and it was a song about Jesus, but it had a rock beat. And when I heard this, not a saved person, when I heard this, I said to myself, this is not right. Something just said within me, it said, this is not right, you know. So as a lost person, I even knew, I said, you know what, this, it was uneasy for me, you know. So also, there's a song out there. It was released in the 1980s. It's called "I Write the Songs." I'm not going to tell you who it's by, but it was written by somebody in rock and roll. And I would encourage you to look up the lyrics. Google the lyrics. I did online. I couldn't print them off because it wouldn't let me. But if you just read those lyrics, you know, it basically says what I thought of the other day was when I was thinking about it. It basically is a biography of Satan writing music. You know, because if you listen to it and apply your spiritual ears, you know. Now the writer of the song says that it's he got the song from God. Yeah, I know. You know, after you read the lyrics, you know where it's coming from. I heard another preacher on this also, and he's saying that, you know, that he also had the same belief as I did, is that, yeah, you listen to the song, or, you know, I wouldn't even encourage you, listen to it, just read the lyrics, you know, you will know right away where that's coming from. So let's read 1 John 2, 15 and 16. Here the Bible version issue, or with the music issue, is I'm not going into great depth, because I know music as, you know, like I know chemistry. You know, I like listening to it. You know, I listen often to the right music now, but I'm not going to go into great depth here. But I'm just bringing out some things that will entice people to move on this side instead of staying here. So 1 John 2, 15 to 16 says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but of the world. So it's telling us right here, it says, love not neither the things that are in the world. One of the things that are in the world is the music, is the rock and roll music, and it's basically all the popular music out there is pretty much rock and roll. It still has that beat, and even though the style of it may change or changed over the years, but it's still quote unquote rock and roll music. It's still got that beat. It's still not godly. So it says, neither the things, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. So we should not love that music, and we should try to keep it out of here, out of the church. Okay, let's read Ephesians 5:23. Also with the music that that the churches are going into, some of the churches are going into and changing into the rock, into the CCM music, is now that first it's the Bible issue, then the CCM. Some change the Bible first, then introduce the CCM. Most of the churches have CCM first, and then the Bible issue comes. There's a change there, okay? But there's one thing that we gotta realize is when we come to church, we are coming to church to worship God,
yes.
Not ourselves. So some people may say, well, I don't like the music there because it's not beat, it's not upbeat, it's not peppy. It's not this, it's not that, for the churches who sing the traditional hymns, Why are you going to church? Are you going to church for yourself? To be entertained? Now, some of the churches are, set in mind, well, what can we do to bring the people in? So they want to bring the world in, so they change like the world. So they're going to change their music, and then are they going to get more people? Most likely, yes. But we got to realize that we come to church to worship God, not ourselves, not our tastes, our likes. It's God's. So we come to church to learn about God and His Son, and not to be entertained. Let's look at Ephesians 5:23. Is for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the savior of the body. I want to concentrate on Christ as the head of the church. Christ is the head of the church. I mean, plain and simple. He's running the show. He's just working through us.
Yes,
So what kind of attitude are you going to have coming in here? You looking to go to church to be entertained? Or are you coming in here to learn about God, how to worship God, how to react to God? The head of the church is Jesus Christ. He's the founder. We don't come to church to worship ourselves. We come to church to worship God. His interests should be our interests. And not our interests, His. So we come here to learn the Word, and we learn how to please God. That's why we come to church. And every time we're in here, we should be pleasing to God, not a stench in His nostrils.
Yes.
But we should be pleasing God. Let's go to Hebrews 4:13. Thank you. Hebrews 4:13 says, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Okay? We're going to have to deal with God. You know, whatever we do in our lives, you know, we're going to have to answer to him. So let's make it what he wants us to do. And let's follow him. Hebrews 13:8. Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. He doesn't change, and if we're a born again believer, we shouldn't either. Okay? Because what drives me crazy is when I'm out there, you hear conversations, and there's one thing that sometimes it comes up, and especially, you know, if younger people are talking to older people, you know, they always say, "Oh, come on, Grandma," you know, it's 2022. Yeah. I mean. And they're usually talking about a sin. They always want to make the year an excuse to do more sinning. You know? And what we should, like the verse says, Jesus Christ the same yesterday. What Jesus Christ was in, God is in the Old Testament, New Testament, is still relevant today. His laws, his commandments, still relevant today. And he should not be changed because it's 2022. You know? We should have the same attributes of Christ that we should have. Christ the same yesterday. Jesus Christ is always going to be the same. And he expects us to be the same. So what was wrong then is still wrong today.
That's right.
You know? All I'm saying today is, are you with the original old past, or are you going to be moved? Are you going to be over here, or are you going to be over here? The way we should go is so far out of sight you can't even see it. You know, let's go to Jeremiah 6:16. Jeremiah 6:16 says, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. Whew. You know? So God here is saying is stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths. The old path is what the path that God laid down for us, that we should walk therein. 1 Timothy 4:1. Now our spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Okay, we know that, you know, because we're in the end times, that there's going to be a falling away. And here we have a warning about that. And we know that some people will fall away from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits, having them move this way instead of staying over here. And let's go to John 14:16. John I'm sorry, John 14, 6. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Okay, he said, I am the way, not a way.
Yes.
The way, the only way. I am the truth. You want truth? It's in your King James Bible.
That's right.
Okay, that's the only place where truth is in this book. So if people are searching for truth, if anybody out there is searching for truth, get yourself a King James Bible, because that's where it is. And the life. And Jesus said, I am the life. He's the life. If you want life, you go to Jesus Christ. Okay. That's all I have. Just remember that, that he's the way and the truth. And if you want to be grounded, you want to be on that soil, that deep soil. Here it is. Stay in that. You'll be grounded. Read it. Study it. Ask God to show you about what, if you have anything that you don't understand, ask God to show you what he means. But just stay in the book. Even though it may be frustrating at times, maybe you don't know how to pronounce some words, get yourself a dictionary, look it up, learn how to pronounce them. But stay in the book. Stay in the book. That's all I have. Thank you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord, for this service, Lord. I hope, Lord, it's the words that came out of my mouth, Lord, is the words that you wanted me to say, Lord. And now, Lord, that I hope, I just pray, Lord, it falls on fertile ground, Lord, and Lord, that I pray, Lord, if anybody out there listening through the internet, Lord, live streaming, Lord, that they heard the words today, Lord, and they would spark some interest, Lord, plant a seed, Lord, and Lord, we just thank you, Lord. Thank you for these things. Thank you for this time, Lord, and Lord, we just pray, Lord, that you just give us fellowship after the service, Lord. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.